Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And Joel and I will be discussing some of the market action today, even dabbling a little bit in some of the precious metals moves, which are selling off along with the markets. But first, Joel, you were bringing up to me a stock that I don't follow closely, but man, oh man, it's a stock that has just skyrocketed really since the pandemic, and even in the last couple weeks of trading has really moved strongly higher. We're talking about Generac Holdings, traded GNRC on the NYSE. Now, this stock is up well over 300% after the pandemic, but you can also make the argument that the stock had doubled in 2019 as well, after pretty much trading in a range for seven years, actually. Now it's moving higher. Joel, give us a first little recap of why this stock caught your eye. Obviously, it's because of the price moves, but why you think it's moving so strongly?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me, as usual, on Tuesday. This stock, well, first of all, just let me go to like theme trading and current events. It's something we try and cover on our show. You know, when there's hurricanes, you know, we look at insurance companies, we look at Home Depots, we look at companies that are going to be positively and negatively impacted by the event. And one stock that usually gets a pop is Generac Holdings. Just like the name, they make generators. And it's been a great performer. Now, I also noticed doing a little research on this stock that it's just been an incredible performer since the March low. And I think that, you know, the pandemic has induced changes in consumer behavior, also a little bit of higher spending because you're or higher savings rate because you're not going out and spending your money. And I think people are like, I need a home generator. I'm working from home. I'm home much more. And I think that's evidenced by the stock price, and people are out there with their own power supply. Also, with potential cyber attacks on the grid. I might be getting a little carried away here, but I think that's something that's of note. Now, what's really interesting to me is this stock was trading at an all-time high last week. And on Wednesday, some smart money said, hey, I think this defreeze is really going to affect how consumers react in the market. So on Thursday, it went from 277.54 to 316.11. On Friday, it went from 316.11 to 326.84. Do you think that's any coincidence with the deep freeze coming in and hitting, you know, crippling Texas? So then you get the actual event. You have the anticipatory buying ahead of the event. They juice it in the pre-market trading. They get it up to 360.18. That's a new all-time high by $30. And now the smart money, you know what the smart money's doing? They're taking their profits. Exactly. We're back down below the open. And, you know, just little events like that, you know, hurricane season, deep freezes. You know, you hate to capitalize from, natural disasters or bad events, but that's the way the market thinks, Corey. That's right. And I miss this one. I missed this trade. I didn't look at the price action last week. But when you boil down to it, it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It does, but especially the short-term trading right on Thursday when that stock broke out to another all-time high, it just drew, it looks like, even more money in. We saw a nice volume bump on Friday, and that took the stock way higher. Joel, in all fairness, though, as I said, this stock was rising. It started rising it started rising in 2019. 2020 was good. It's off to a fast start here. Do you worry, though, at all about these very short-term pops based on, well, weather events, that this could at least signify a short-term top?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm always looking to pick a top in something. but the trend has been, you're right, the stock was dormant for 4, 5, 6 years. It broke out. It had a good 19. So it has other factors going for it. I mean, do you have a generator? Do you have a generator?
No, I do not. But I don't know. I haven't really thought of one. I live Vancouver proper, but I understand the argument for a generator.
I mean, we had, you were probably in junior high or something, but we had a major blackout here I believe it was around 2013, 2014, and like the whole grid went down from Pennsylvania to Michigan. I mean, it was major. And after that, we said, you know what? We're getting a generator. And we don't have a Generac. I can't think of what the brand is, but I'll tell you, there's nothing more comforting when you're sitting in your house and all of a sudden it goes and everything shuts down. And then I count 10 seconds and man, that thing just starts humming. I get it serviced once a year. And, you know, you can't have everything hooked up to it. That with your normal house, we have a pretty big one. But I tell you, man, it's a, you know, and there, we've used it on multiple occasions. So it's it. I mean, if you can afford it, and, you know, I guess a lot of people can afford them now, it's not a bad investment. But I'm not here to get, I'm not, giving home home compliance advice here. No, that's, let's talk about the markets today.
Yeah. All right. Let's move over to the markets. I do appreciate you pointing out that stock, though, Joel, and it does really speak to what environment the world is in right now, or especially the U.S. But U.S. equity markets, when I went to bed last night, I was reading everything about how Asian markets were up and it was going to be the start of another good week for U.S. equity markets. Even pre-market trading, the stocks were well up, or the markets were well higher. But today we're seeing kind of a broad sell-off during market hours. And as we're recording this, we have the S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, and Russell all now in negative territory. That's corresponding with a sell-off in a lot of other areas. But let's talk broad averages. How important is this, do you think, to see this sell-off to start this week?
You know, I wish I could put my exact thinking in the way that I interpret the markets into words for your viewers, because my perception of the markets started Sunday night at 6 p.m. even though with the U.S. markets closed, I mean, they caught a bid in the S&Ps, and there's lower liquidity. And if you're a bigger player in the lower liquidity in the futures, you can do what you want. And if you have a group of, big players on the same side of the market, which has been a bull market, then they, with the less liquidity, they could get it to levels that you might not get to in the regular session. And so I'll give you an example. The S&P's got the 39.59 and a quarter. You know, as I use that as my primary indicator. Well, if I'm any kind of continuation moving that, I'm looking for that to be taken out. I'm looking for the buyers to say, you know what? That's nothing. And when you get a day like you have today where the 9.30, you know, the intraday low is 39.45, that's 14 points below. That tells me that we got way overdone in the overnight session, and that there were sellers out there. They put the high in early in the session. So, you know, people are looking, oh, it's a flat market. To me, I'm looking, you know, we're 30 points off the high. So can you call it the end of a bull market? No. Can you call it maybe the start of a correction? Maybe. But you have a good reference point. You had a Friday high, then you had to follow through over the weekend into a, you know, follow through on Monday. What will Monday signal a reversal, or is just a pullback? Another buy the dip opportunity. So, a lot of different ways to skin a cat. But I really like to concentrate on that pre market action. See where, you know, when all the big fish are in the pond, right? How the market reacts, and today a little too much. You know, overnight some sellers came in. Not a bad day. We're down 3. But it's just the way I look at it. That overnight action, I guess, to wrap it up, it can give you good signals into what might happen during the actual regular session with more liquidity.
So then throughout the rest of this week, Joel, what sort of price action are you looking for? What levels are you watching?
I tell you right now, my number right now for the whole week is 39.31. Forget the high from Friday, forget the high overnight, forget the intraday high. Does this market want to improve on the all-time closing high? And that all-time closing high was from Friday at 39.31. Let the market prove to me that it wants to improve on that. Or if you get a couple days, let's say we meander Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, get a couple closes in that area, then that will add further significance to the trading on Friday. Also, we have a monthly options expiration. Not big, but it's not a quarterly. It's coming earlier in the month. You have a shortened trading week. So there could be some action off that. But if you want one number from me, boom, 39.31 in the S&P.
Okay, that is exactly where we are trading right now. So that'll make it interesting to watch the rest of today. Let's also touch on gold. Actually, gold and yields together, because gold is having a tough day. It bounced after about an hour of trading today, but has been fading. It's below 1800 right now, closing in on that key about 1730 level, which, I don't want to know what happens to gold if it drops below there. And we also look at long-term rates, because those two have been moving inversely. And man, the 10-year now, it's almost at 1.3%. What's your takeaway from the action today?
There's inflation out there. We know there's inflation. The market is ignoring inflation. Rates are eventually going to have to go up, regardless of what Pump and Powell says. And, so you'd think that would be good for gold, but it's not. I mean, I think, Bitcoin has, the volatility, the movements, as I think it's detracted investors from the gold market, and they're using, other ways. And also, why do you want to be in gold? Why do you want to, have some measly return in gold when you can be in GameStop, AMC, SPACs, all these other stocks? I mean, it's been in a trading range. I have it in my portfolio. I'm getting absolutely sick of looking at it here. And, every time it gets up to 1850, I'm thinking I should dump it, and I don't. And it's not looking good here. It's just, you got a monthly base, and I know the area you're talking about that. And I'm going to bump it up to like 1770. I mean, Katie, bar the door if this takes out 1770. And if it can rally in what is a potential inflationary environment, then I don't know when it's going to rally.
Yeah, well, to your point, in terms of the boringness of gold, it's been low volume, it's been a range-bound trade. Yeah, it just doesn't attract people. But your comment there that you might be giving up on gold, I think that means a lot, because there are a lot of investors that I think are continuing to hold gold because of the inflation narrative, because of the government spending. But without any sort of positive price action, eventually, and it's been 7 months now, this correction, eventually, even long-term holders might start turning away.
Yeah, and you saw the way gold reacted at the beginning of the pandemic, too. They flushed it out and then brought it back. So I'm still up a little bit on my long-term investment, but like, as I, just getting sick of looking at it.
Okay. Well, Joel, good chatting with you, buddy. Wish we could have ended that on a little bit more positive of a note.
Sorry.
But hey, you are very honest with us. And man, oh man, I appreciate that. I also enjoy your pre-market prep show, which I will post a link to below so everybody can listen to the recordings of that show. Joel, great chatting with you again, buddy. I'll chat with you next week.
Okay, thank you.